Isaac Newton and his Apple. By Jordan Poskett. Illustrated by Philip Weave. Read by Deanna Vance. Why is Isaac Newton dead famous? Even though he lived 300 years ago and he wasn't a king or anything obvious like that, nearly everybody has heard of Isaac Newton. What's more, he will always be dead famous until the end of time. But do you know why? One day, Isaac was sitting in his garden under an apple tree when... Doink! If that happened to you, what would you say? Ouch! Typical, it's got a worm in it. I prefer bananas. What made the apple thud? Chomp, munch, burp, slobber, chew. Suppose you were like Isaac and said, what made the apple thud? What would your answer have been? A bird knocked it off. The wind blew it down. The tree must have wobbled a bit. It was attracted to the earth by a force that nobody's heard of yet, but when I've done tons and tons of really tough sums and studied the movement of the moon and planets a lot, I shall provide mankind with one of the most important answers to how everything in the universe is attracted to everything else. It just got off. Once Isaac started to think this apple thing through, there was no stopping him, and of course he eventually came up with the whole notion of gravity. There, that's why Isaac Newton is dead famous. So thanks for reading this book, and hopefully it didn't take up too much of your time. Huh? Is that it? Actually, if you're interested, there is a bit more, so if you want to find out why he stuck things around the back of his eyebrows and nearly blinded himself, ow! How he managed to split light up, how he invented a whole new system of maths, why he always wanted to keep his brilliant discoveries to himself. Oh, goon, tell us. Shan't. Why he wanted to burn his mother, why the church hated him, why Clarence Thurgers hated him. I hate that Newton. Yeah, me too. In fact, why nearly everybody hated him, why too many Newtons will kill you, why he was nearly executed, whose nose he rubbed against the church with, wub wub, how he got to be so clever in the first place. It's all in here, so read on. A hint before you start. Isaac's life makes a fascinating story, and when you read it, you will understand why many people think he was the greatest scientist of all time. Obviously, that means this book is going to have some bits of science in it, not to mention some maths. This gives you two choices. One, for a nice, easy read, don't be scared to skip the technical bits. After all, you can always come back to them later. Two, but if you want to take the fabulous Isaac experience to the ultimate extreme, then get stuck in. Quite apart from finding out how clever Isaac was, you might be pleasantly surprised to find how clever you are, too. Are you ready for this? Good. Get yourself comfy and we're off. The Strange Tale of Alice. Alice made her first entrance into the world when her mother was squashed under a horse's hoof at Grantham Market. She was just one of many little brown specks scattered among the dirty cobbles, but Alice didn't mind. It's pretty much what she had expected out of life. Later in the evening, when the market had quieted down, Alice became aware of a large bird tripping its way toward her. Actually, the bird was only a young sparrow, but it was large compared to Alice. In a second, Alice was picked up from the ground, and moments later, she found herself nestled deep inside the very intestines of the bird. Alice knew she had been lucky. Of her thousands of brothers and sisters, many would be nibbled to lifeless fragments by small rodents, and almost certainly the rest would be left to rot on barren stones, but at least Alice had been given a chance. Alice was aware of the strong rhythmic motion all around her as the muscles of the bird's body united to power it into flight. Gradually, the heavy, heaving intestine forced Alice through into a cavity packed with rich, nutritious matter, and immediately Alice felt the spark of life at her center start to ignite. Suddenly, with one last thrust from the bird's rear muscles, Alice was ejected. Safely encased in a flecked white blob, she fell to the earth below and landed in grass, slightly dampened by the nighttime dew. Once again, Alice had been lucky. Life glowed within her, everything she needed was around her, and she was going to survive. Of course, Alice was blind. Alice was deaf. Alice had no sense of smell and only the vaguest notion of touch. But Alice did have one thing. Alice had the knowledge she'd inherited from her mother. She knew about life. She knew about nature. She knew about why things are and how things come to be. Alice hoped that one day she would be able to bear her own children and pass the same knowledge on to them. Of course, what Alice could never have imagined is that one day she would share a little tiny part of what she knew with someone from a species completely alien to her. Alice was going to change history, but not before a lot of other things had happened. One quick. A miserable start. Certificate of Certificate of birth. Name, Isaac Newton. Date of birth, December 25th, 1632. Place of birth, the Manor House, Listhorpe, and our Grantham, Lincolnshire. Father, Isaac Newton. Died October 1632. Father, occupation of father, yeoman. Mother, Hannah Newton, or Hannah Ascoff before she was married. Occupation of mother, farm manager. Doctor's note, child not expected to live. Isaac was born at 20 minutes after midnight on Christmas morning in the year 1632, just a few weeks after his father had died. Isaac's birth had come so prematurely that they could have fitted his tiny body into a claret pot, which is about the size of a kettle. Nobody expected the feeble baby to survive until the evening. However, even at the tender age of just a few hours, Isaac astonished people. Not only did he survive until Boxing Day, he went on to live for 84 healthy years. When Isaac was about 1 year old, life in England suddenly changed. Oh yes, hear ye an important news flash. Parliament has finally had enough of the king. Apparently his insistence that he has a divine right to do whatever he wants has caused a soldier called Oliver Cromwell to raise an army of roundheads against him. Us Lincolnshire folk would be supporting the king. So are we going to judge his cavalier army? Oh no, I'm not supporting him that much. There was some fighting and the house burning in Lincolnshire, but luckily for the Newtons, they missed the worst of the southern there. Instead, Isaac's problems started just after his third birthday, when his mother married a 63-year-old vicar called Barnabas Smith. She went off to live in his parish of North Witham. But even though it was only a few miles from Woolsthorpe, little Isaac wasn't invited along. Instead, Isaac was left behind with his granny, Mrs. Ascoff. Poor Isaac. Most of the time he spent brooding. My real father's gone to heaven, my mother doesn't want me, and my granny thinks I'm stupid. No wonder I'm a moody kid who stares into space a lot. But occasionally he did make his feelings known, and he once threatened, "I'll burn the house down with both of you in it!" Despite his unhappy situation, Isaac started to show some interest, even as a small child. In particular, he was fascinated by sundials. He would sit for hours matching the shadows cast by the sun, moving round, and would mark their positions at set times of the day. This preoccupation with the movement of the sun was to stay with him his whole life, and even as an old man he would tell the time by looking at shadows rather than a clock. As it turned out, the Reverend Barnabas died when Isaac was 10, and his mother returned to live at Listhorpe. She brought quite a lot of money back with her, and also her new children. Marie, aged 6, Benjamin, aged 3, and baby Hannah. For 2 years, they all lived as a family, and in his early teens, Isaac was a bit of a father figure to the others, especially little Hannah. In those days, children living in the country were taught the skills they would need to work on farms, and if his father had not died, it's quite possible that Isaac would hardly have learned to read or write. However, as Isaac's mother had money to spare and didn't know what to do with her moody son, as soon as he was 12, she sent him away to start the King Edward the 6th Grammar School in Grantham. "I'm the headmaster, Mr. Stokes. I'll see you tonight then, Mother." "Oh, didn't I tell you? You're not coming home." "Why not? It's too far." "Never mind, you can stay with Mr. Clark. Home, 7 miles. "Why was a grammar school called a grammar school?" "Because that's what you learned there. Grammar. In other words, most of the time you learn Latin grammar, but for a nice refreshing change, they shoved a bit of Greek grammar at you as well. How about maths, art, woodwork, humanities, science, PE, and so on? Not a chance. Everybody's too busy learning grammar, of course." Actually, grammar wasn't quite as useless as it seems. Latin is the language that was used by the ancient Romans, and although nobody was using it for everyday purposes in 1654, it was the one language that all the clever people right across Europe used. This meant that Germans, French, Spanish, Portuguese, English, and Italians could all understand what each other was up to without everybody having to know everybody else's languages. This is what Latin looks like. De doce fuera. And if you think that's bad, this is what ancient Greek looks like. It was handy to know a bit of Greek, too, because most of the clever stuff that had been thought of before Isaac's time was written down in Greek, even the New Testament of the Bible, which would become very important to Isaac. If you could read Greek, then you could find out exactly what you wanted to know without somebody else translating it for you, and probably getting it wrong. It has to be said that at first, Isaac wasn't inspired to slog away at learning dead languages, and he soon hit the bottom of the class. Lacks commitment, no motivation, potential not realized. This doesn't mean to say he was lazy. Indeed, the place he was staying at, Mr. Clark's, the apothecary, became very full of sundials. To save you wondering, an apothecary is an old-fashioned chemist. Actually, this is a good time to meet Mr. Clark and his family, because most of them come in later on. Mr. Clark's brainy brother, Dr. Clark, Mrs. Clark's brother, Humphrey Babington, a Cambridge academic, Mrs. Clark, Mr. Clark's stepson, Arthur, Mr. Clark's stepdaughter, Catherine Strayer. It was thanks to Mr. Clark's stepson, Arthur, the squidbilly, that one day Isaac's whole attitude changed. Hey, thicky newt face, we want to kick a bat around. Leave me alone, Arthur. You don't understand. You are the bat. Not flump. Ha ha, that showed him. Good joke. Abandoned by my mother, surrounded by idiots, bearing squirrel work, kicked in the stomach. It's retribution time. Chew some knuckles, punk. Ha ha, silly newt face. It's almost too sad to watch. Cursed blood. What's got into him? He's demented. Bam, there, hit, kick, ow. What's your problem? No, nothing, Mr. Newton, sir. I say, do let's hurry along, chaps. We'll be late for irregular Greek verbs. What's he doing now? Whatever it is, I'm not messing with him, lad prep. Rubbity, rubbity, rub. Ow! No, man, you've made your point. Ha, I haven't started yet. Oh, no. What's he going to do now? I'm going to come top in Latin. Yes, suddenly Isaac had made a decision. He was going to be superior to everybody he knew in any way he could. Isaac gets some attitude. He didn't just attack Latin, which he learned to read and write as easily as English. He also amazed everybody with his ability to build model windmills, letter clocks, other mechanical marvels, often working on Sundays rather than studying the Bible as he was expected to. For a laugh, he even made kites with fireworks attached to them and flew them at night, which scared everybody to bits. Another odd thing is that he couldn't resist drawing on letters. His subjects could be inventions, mathematical shapes, or even portraits of people, including King Charles I, which was a bit dangerous. By now, Oliver Cromwell was running the country. It had taken him 6 years to defeat King Charles, and he had even gone so far as to have the king executed. Although the king had his head chopped off, it was sewn on again before they put him in his coffin. That was thoughtful, wasn't it? Cromwell was a strict Puritan, which meant that he wanted church services to be as basic and varying as possible, so that there was nothing to distract people from worshipping. He especially hated the way his enemies, the Roman Catholics, had nice robes to wear and went round swinging incense. Even when people were not in church, he had his own ideas on how they should behave. There's to be no dancing, no carnivals, and no fun at Christmas. That's how it's always been in Lincolnshire. Needless to say, Oliver Cromwell wouldn't have been too happy at the boy who drew the old king's portrait on the letters. However, in many years to come, this tiny detail of Isaac's life would prove to be important. As well as learning Latin and Greek at school, Isaac spent long hours studying chemistry, maths, mechanics, and astronomy from a pile of books that had been left at Mr. Clark's house by his brainy brother, Dr. Clark. Isaac described all he found and did with meticulous detail in a little notebook which he bought for tuppence a penny, and this little book still survives and is kept in the Pierpont Morgan Library in New York. At the age of 17, Isaac was amazing everybody when his mother said, "Forget those books, I need you on the farm." Needless to say, Isaac was not cut out to be a farmer. He quickly found ways to sneak off and study, but this didn't always go according to plan. He was taken to Clark because his sheep had escaped and caused damage. His pigs had broken into a neighbor's cornfield, and his fences were falling apart. He was fined 3 shillings and 3 pence, which would be about, something this year. These days. Worse than that, he got a criminal record. Wanted. His mother Granny thought he was useless, but Isaac was about to have a bit of luck. His uncle Bill, officially known as the Reverend William Ascough of Button Cockles, Lincolnshire, had studied at Trinity College, Cambridge, and he realized that if Isaac could get there, his brilliance might not be wasted. Along with Isaac's teacher, Mr. Stokes, he persuaded Isaac's mother to let him return to school to prepare for university. In 1660, Isaac went to live with Mr. Clark, the apothecary, again. This must have pleased him immensely, because not only did Mr. Clark have all the books Isaac liked, he also had a young stepdaughter, Catherine Strayer, who thought Isaac was gorgeous, and they developed a bit of a romantic attachment. Nothing serious came of it, but it's interesting to mention it, because it's about the only time in Isaac's life that he ever did go out with anyone. The next year, Isaac got a place at Trinity College, Cambridge. Aged 18, he was about 2 years older than most of the new students, but more to the point, he was a lot thinner. Isaac's undiscovered diary. Mother does not send enough money, even though she could easily afford it, so I have to be a sizar to earn my keep. How can I study when I have to find time to clean rooms and empty chamber pots for the witch students? I'm in luck, though, because I'm working for Mrs. Clark's brother, Humphrey Babington, and he is very impertinent at Trinity College. Maybe this would be useful in time. I write this note as the other students are being fed. Only when they are finished may the sizars clear their plates and see if we have been left anything to eat. At least some good news, though. HB is only in college for 5 weeks this year, so soon I shall have time to myself. Oh yes, ding, ding, ding. Here's the latest. Oliver Cromwell died in 1658. The latest? That was over 3 years ago. Ah, well, did you know they're planning to dig his body up in Westminster Abbey, chop the head off it, and stick it on a pillar for everybody to see? That'll be nice. It was an exciting time to be at Cambridge because England had a king again in the form of the Merry Monarch, Charles II, son of Charles I. During Cromwell's time, most of the teaching jobs at Cambridge had gone to Puritans, but now these were being turfed out and replaced by new people, which gave Isaac a chance to progress. Most of the other students spent their lives partying, and very few had any intention of getting a degree. Of course, that's why they are long dead, buried, and completely forgotten. But Isaac was different. For nearly 3 years, he studied everything he could lay his hands on, often working right through the night into sunrise, and when he wasn't studying, he was desperately trying to sort out his religious beliefs by making long lists of his sins. These included things from years before. Isaac's List of Sins, Volume 1068. I punched my sister. Ow! Hey! Snap. Shant. I shouted at the servants. I broke a candlestick. I refused to take a message from my mother. Finally, he graduated in January 1665. It was at this point that Isaac Newton's brain was race-tuned, supercharged, fueled up, and ready to take on the world. Vroom, vroom. So, Isaac, what do you really do? Before we find out what Isaac discovered and invented, there's something important to know. Isaac didn't regard himself as a mathematician or a scientist. Instead, he would say that he was a natural philosopher. Like so many of the great brains before him, Isaac was only using maths and science to find out the answers to really big questions such as, how does nature work? Why do we exist? Squish, scratch. Where is God? What is everything made of? Quite apart from studying maths and so on at Cambridge, Isaac had three other special interests. The Bible. Whether they were Catholic or Protestant, everyone in the country at the time based their beliefs on what they read in the Bible. Isaac was also extremely religious and keen to find out all he could about God, but he did not like being told what to think. He spent ages analyzing the Bible and trying to work out religion for himself, and it wasn't long before he decided that even the Bible itself wasn't so perfect after all. This was going to lead to big trouble. Alchemy. Alchemy was a brilliant subject. It was a sort of cross between chemistry and magic. Alchemists were fascinated as to why some things would not mix, such as water and oil, and why magnets attract. The ancient Greek Aristotle had a lot to say on the subject, and in particular, he had the notion that everything tends to perfection, which is a wonderfully vague way of explaining anything from things falling down to earth to flowers growing up towards the sun. It was such a cute thought, and the idea of being perfect kept coming up in alchemy a lot. Alchemists often tried experiments that needed some sort of strange force or power from the alchemist himself, and for this sort of experiment to work, the alchemist had to be as pure and perfect as possible. This not only meant being extremely religious, but you also had to have the right religion. No wonder Isaac studied the Bible so hard, he wanted to get it right. Good! I've made good! It looks more sort of greeny, gray, brown to me. These experiments could also depend on the positions of stars and planets in the sky. There's one more thing that would start to link in with Isaac's interests. Alchemists had two things they were especially keen to discover. One was elixir vitae, which was a drink to prolong life, and the other was the philosopher's stone, which was a substance so perfect that it had the power to turn very metals into gold. Thanks to Aristotle, alchemists believed that everything was made up of a mixture of four basic elements: air, fire, water, and earth. For thousands of years, they had based their experiments on this, and by Isaac's time, only a few of them had begun to think that there might be a different set of chemical elements involved. Aristotle had gone on to say that if you managed to alter the amounts of the elements in something, then you got something else, and that's partly why alchemists hoped that inside every old lump of metal there was a gold bar waiting to get out. It has to be admitted that sometimes alchemy came up with some useful results and discoveries, but on the whole, it was fair old rubbish. Nevertheless, like many clever people before him, Isaac took it very seriously. Other philosophers. tied them with his own thoughts. Isaac also studied earlier philosophers, and in Cambridge they were particularly keen on Aristotle. We need to know a bit more about Aristotle and some other blokes, so that's what the next chapter will be about. Before you read it, though, be warned, there's a couple of nasty bits in it. Aristotle and some other blokes. Aristotle was a Greek philosopher and scientist who lived from 384 to 322 BC. In his time, he studied astronomy, nature, ethics, logic, and, as we've already found out, he even had his own ideas about alchemy. One of the main conclusions he came up with was, the Earth is the center of the universe, and the sun and everything else moves around it. Aristotle had a very convincing argument for this. Of course the Earth is still. If it were moving around, we would all be thrown off.